Ascend Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Running Virtual Meetings by Harvard Business Review, narrated by James Edward Thomas.
What is a virtual meeting? Leading an effective virtual meeting is no easy task. There's the ghostly presence of other people on a conference call. A silent chorus that says hello at the beginning of the discussion and then never chimes in again with a question or an idea. The ding of an incoming email from a teleconference participant who's not bothering to hide the fact that they're using the time to catch up on correspondence. Awkward, lengthy gaps as overly polite participants try to avoid speaking over one another. The colleague who takes a lagging video connection as license to interrupt other speakers whenever there's a pause in the transmission. And those are just the people problems. Slow internet service, software bugs, pixelated video. How do we make any progress on our agendas? Problems like these can plague a meeting when you can't gather all the attendees in the same physical location. Whatever the purpose of your conversation, its dynamic will be fundamentally determined by the medium that brings everyone together. Video, conference call, messenger apps. As communication tools evolve, so do your options. Even if you work in a traditional office alongside your colleagues, you may spend most of your time in conference with people who aren't physically present. Negotiating terms with the client who lives two time zones away. Discussing a project with a colleague who regularly works from home. Or just checking in with the coterie of collaborators who, like you, work out of coffee shops and libraries. Though they're part of our regular workdays, these meetings aren't always as successful as they could be. There's a lot that can and does go wrong. What are the key challenges? You know what it feels like when an in-person meeting isn't going well. You're bored, you're frustrated, you're confused. Virtual meetings are susceptible to the same problems, but the causes are often different. Technology. The success of a virtual meeting depends on the communication tools we employ. Picking the right technology is like picking a good meeting spot. You wouldn't ask colleagues to gather in an abandoned warehouse, at a members-only club, or at a restaurant an hour away from the office. Those aren't accessible locations, and your team won't feel safe or comfortable meeting there. Likewise, if your technology doesn't suit the group's needs, it can actually prevent people from participating. And even with the right tools, you'll have to deal with the usual run of problems, from dropped phone service to malfunctioning software. Protocols. Meetings work best when people clearly understand the process and culture that they're expected to comply with. But when you're not face-to-face or in an office with established rhythms, your colleagues won't necessarily share your expectations and conventions. Who's moderating the conversation and has the right to recognize a speaker or ask someone to be quiet? What's the polite way to register disagreement? Should they interrupt the flow of the meeting or stay silent and follow up by email later? As the leader of the meeting, you're responsible for clarifying these norms ahead of time and enforcing them as the meeting unfolds. Engagement. Technology and protocols create a good space for virtual meetings. Engagement is what happens in that space. But without in-person contact, your remote collaborators can easily become distracted or tune out. And if some people are attending the meeting in person and others are joining remotely, you face another set of difficulties. If you succeed in keeping the people in the room highly engaged, the virtual collaborators might be unsure how to participate in the group's vibrant dynamic and fall silent or feel excluded. Why hold one? If virtual meetings are so much trouble, why are they worth your time and attention? Because the way we're working requires them. As organizations extend their global reach, workers in diverse locations must work together to accomplish shared business goals. And as more and more cloud-enabled collaboration tools make their way to the market, they offer a time and cost-effective way to get that work done. If you need to assemble colleagues in London, Nairobi, and Mumbai, there are simply no other options. But don't think of these meetings as your choice of last resort. Collaborate with people across town or an ocean away, and everyone reaps great benefits. You'll build personal connections. For colleagues in different locations, virtual meetings are the only place to build rapport in real time. Whether you're using a video service or a chat app, these interactions let you engage in the small talk and rapid back and forth that's so essential to building trust, but so hard to accomplish over email. You'll take the onus for virtual collaboration off email. We're accustomed to thinking about virtual meetings as serving the same functions as a real meeting, but they have another analog, email. For all its virtues, email is not well suited for complex or technical discussions, and one-off questions or comments can get lost in the inexorable tide of new messages. Virtual meetings solve both these problems. They're a good forum for complicated conversations, and their low barrier to entry lets you initiate minor but useful interactions that otherwise wouldn't be worth the trouble. You'll get more out of your time. You don't need to travel to your colleagues or they to you, carry out routine information sharing without the hassle of a cross-country flight or a ride up the elevator. Work with a corporate security specialist who has the skill set you need to navigate local regulations and infrastructure for the new office location you're planning. Invite your boss to address your team during its weekly hour-long meeting, then patch them in during the 10 minutes they're available to talk. What this book will do. Virtual meetings are challenging to facilitate, yes. But you can make progress on your work. Whether you're hopping online to meet with teammates in Japan or calling into the office on a work-from-home day, you can spark participation and engagement and lead better virtual meetings. Running virtual meetings is for you if you lead a virtual team. Host meetings for the people you collaborate with who work from various locations. Give virtual presentations. Have a direct report or colleague with whom you work closely and who works in a different location. To derive the most from these remote experiences, you'll need to prepare, conduct, and follow up on the discussion as you would for an in-person meeting. But as the leader of a virtual meeting, you need to plan your meeting, working around multiple time zones to schedule it and looping in the right people no matter where they are. Choose the technology you'll use to host the meeting and ensure it works. Set and enforce expectations for participation. Foster engagement so that everyone contributes fully and feels ownership over the meeting's outcome. In the rest of this book, you'll learn practical tips for every step of taking those meeting basics and using them to run an effective virtual meeting. We'll begin by evaluating whether hosting a virtual meeting will help you achieve the goal you have in mind. Plan your meeting. Running a successful meeting requires a fair amount of groundwork. Set yourself up for a meaningful, engaging conversation with the right players by thinking through your goal and deciding who can help you achieve it, what materials they'll need to contribute in an informed manner, and when and where you'll best assemble everyone. Decide if you need to meet. Remote collaboration can exacerbate our tendency to plan needless meetings. Because we're measuring our working relationships against traditional office life, where coworkers see each other every day, we feel like we should be in contact with our counterparts more frequently than we are. Our team is dispersed, so group conference calls are our only way to interact, right? But the cost of these interactions is invisible to us. We don't see how harried or bored our collaborators are during an ill-conceived meeting, or how it can throw off the rest of their workday. What are you trying to achieve? To avoid wasting your colleagues' time and your own, figure out what you hope to accomplish. Push yourself to be specific. For example, my goal for this meeting is to make adjustments to our current project timeline. I want to gather input from the team about their schedule constraints so that I can make a new timeline that people are able to commit to. As you're framing the goal, ask yourself, what do I want the outcome of this meeting to be? Why and how do other people need to be involved? Which people or points of view do I particularly want to hear from? Are you ready to meet? Now that you've articulated your goals, assess them critically. Will holding a meeting right now really accomplish what you want? Dig down on several key questions. Do I have everything I need to discuss the situation? Do I have all the information necessary to make the meeting work? Am I clear in my own mind about my concerns and priorities and those of the work? Perform a short thought experiment where you put yourself in the place of key participants and imagine the questions they're likely to ask. Can you answer them? If not, postpone the meeting and do some more research or independent strategic thinking. Does moving forward require back and forth with collaborators in real time? If you simply need to get information from someone else, what's your project status? Can you give me feedback on these documents? Email might be a better option, since colleagues can get to it on their own time. But if you need to discuss a complicated problem, get multiple perspectives on an issue, make a sensitive group decision, or do anything else that requires complex human interactions, plan for real-time talk. Will our group dynamic benefit from a real-time interaction right now? Meetings matter for morale as well as efficiency. People feel more connected when they can see each other's faces or hear each other's voices. Even trading messages on chat can motivate, since the quick give and take builds rapport. If your collaborators seem disaffected or distrustful, try moving business you'd normally conduct over email or through document sharing to a meeting. After running through these questions, you may realize that you're not ready to bring in other people on this issue, or that you can take care of it on your own. But if this review confirms the need for a meeting, it's time to map out the plan to meet your goal, starting with a well-crafted agenda. Create an agenda. Your agenda outlines the items you want to accomplish in a logical sequence with a time limit and an owner for each order of business. As with a traditional meeting, break down complicated issues into component parts that build on one another. For example, if you need a plan for shifting team members' responsibilities, start by giving a relevant update. An agenda item might be review team members' roles on the project. Then get people's input on various ways to shift these roles. Discuss potential approaches and vote on approaches. And finally, make a decision. Review votes and decide on approach. The lack of face-to-face stimulation shrinks people's attention spans, so plan the bulk of the meeting in 5 or 10 minute segments. If the meeting moves along at a good pace and people believe they're making progress, they're less likely to become distracted by their physical environments. Factor in participant time zones and availability. If someone can join for only part of the meeting, schedule the items that matter to them in that window of time. Technology also influences your agenda. If attendees must use an onerous tool to view a presentation or access a database, group these activities together so that you don't lose momentum or attention as people log in or toggle between screens. Include any information that folks will need to join the meeting on your agenda, where it's being held, conference room, chat channel, dial-in information, and so on. Add the backup plan details, too, so that participants have everything they need in one spot. Figure 1 shows a sample agenda. A few days before the meeting, distribute your agenda with a packet of information about the meeting. See the section, Send Your Invitation and Materials, later in the book. To make sure people really read the information, pick a format they're likely to use. For example, if some participants are calling in from the road, make your packet mobile-friendly. Identify the participants. As you've been noting what topics you'll cover, you've probably already started jotting down people's names beside various items. To build the guest list, invite only essential contributors. Attendees should fall into one of these four categories: key decision makers, people with information about what's under discussion, people who have a stake in the issues, anyone who will be required to implement the decisions you make. The number of participants matters almost as much as their identity, especially in a virtual environment. On the one hand, communication technology allows you to gather large groups together with minimal logistical inconvenience. You don't need to book a massive conference room or pack your guests in cheek to jowl. You just need a platform that can support your audience size. Some tools have a headcount cap. On the other hand, it's hard to moderate a discussion between static-filled voices or postage stamp-sized faces on your computer screen. The following 8-18-1800 rule can help you finalize your invite list. If you have to solve a problem or make a decision, invite 8 people or fewer. If you have more participants, you may receive so much conflicting input that it's difficult to deal with the problem or make the decision at hand. If you want to brainstorm, your guest list can go as high as 18 people. If you need to provide updates, invite however many people need to receive the information. However, if everyone attending the meeting will be presenting, limit the number of participants to no more than 18 people. If you need to rally the troops, go for 1,800 people or more. Pick a platform. If your goals and your guest list fill the criteria for a successful meeting, it's time to decide how to hold it. And there's one piece of advice that experts agree on here. Use video. Video. Sure, sometimes leading a virtual meeting using video technologies is impossible. When a coworker is calling in from their car, or when poor internet service on one end means that you'll all be subjected to a choppy connection. But where it is possible, you'll want to choose video over phone or chat for a couple reasons. Body language and facial expressions give you important information about people's reactions and moods. Everyone in the meeting will benefit from this extra layer of detail, and you'll be more likely to avoid misunderstandings and hurt feelings. And if you can see other participants' faces and peek into their lives a little bit, rapport and empathy will grow stronger. Deborah's at an airport gate and she looks pretty tired. This business trip must be grueling. Video also discourages multitasking. It holds attendees accountable for their participation. Yes, we see you making lunch. And the visual stimulation makes it easier to pay attention. When there's social pressure on all attendees not to appear distracted, and when you back up that norm by calling out bad behavior, your coworkers will be more engaged and your meetings more productive. Nevertheless, video only works when all the participants have a strong, fast internet connection, at least 25 megabits per second download speed and 3 megabits per second upload speed. They also need a decent webcam, a standalone unit, or one that's built into their device, and they need to be willing to turn it on. Some people feel deeply uncomfortable showing their workspaces to colleagues, and others freeze at the prospect of being on camera. Other meeting channels. If you're working with people who can't engage with the content of the meeting because they're so unhappy about its format, you're better off choosing another medium. But which one? Broadly speaking, your options are phone, mobile, landline, or teleconference app like WebEx, or chat via mobile phone or computer. Let's assess them. Phone. Good for small group discussions, simple information sharing, and check-ins with small groups. It's your best bet for participants who lack reliable Wi-Fi or a place to set up their computers. Use it if you anticipate a lot of back and forth between participants, or if you're discussing something emotionally charged. If you share documents ahead of time, attendees can follow a presentation or review a report. Chat. Good for any meeting with small groups, for casual check-ins with large groups, and for directed Q&As that require little discussion. It's convenient for people on the go, especially if you pick an application with a good mobile interface. But mobile keyboards will make it difficult for these people to participate in an extended conversation. This is not the ideal medium for emotionally charged material, although a less formal vibe may let people show their personalities a bit more, for example, with emoji or GIFs. In general, user IDs help clarify the discussion. But without strong moderation, the sequencing of comments can quickly become unmanageable. As a meeting platform, each of these tools has its drawbacks. You'll need to decide which user needs are the most important for your meeting and how to work around each mode's deficiencies. For example, if you're hosting a large meeting on a conference call, consider setting up a chat thread where participants can queue questions without interrupting the meeting. We'll cover setting up supplementary communication channels in the next chapter. Set a time. Picking a time that works for everyone is especially tricky when you're in different time zones. Send around a poll, for example, with Doodle, or email the team to find common availability. If your meeting is urgent, you might just need to wedge it in and hope people can rearrange their schedules to be there. But if you have a little wiggle room, find a time that works for the majority and when people can really concentrate on the discussion. If you have access to invitees' calendars, check which days are packed and when major deadlines loom. Otherwise, ask up front about their schedules when you invite people. I'd like to find a time to meet in the next 2 weeks to dedicate an hour to this issue. What looks best for you? You have a plan for when you'll meet and what you'll discuss with whom, but you're not ready to send your invite just yet. First, you'll learn how to find the right combination of tools to connect and what to do if they don't perform the way you expected. Manage the technology. Choosing video, phone, or chat is just the beginning. How can you determine whether your internet connection is actually up to hosting real-time file sharing between 14 people? Can you position your webcam so that people aren't distracted by the stacks of messy paper on the bookshelf behind you? Even with something as basic as your meeting platform, much effort goes into making technology truly functional. Indeed, you probably rely on several other devices in addition to your main communication tool, from the tablet you use to view a PDF mid-chat to the Google Docs file you've created to capture real-time notes. To make all this work, you'll identify which tools you need. Practice ahead of time and prepare for the inevitable technical glitches. Assess your needs. Your needs is an umbrella term here. In fact, you should be thinking about three parties: you, your colleagues, and your organization, if you work for one. For yourself, start by considering how technology can support your own goals for the meeting. Will you need to record the meeting? If so, how? Will you take notes offline or on a document sharing platform such as Google Drive, where participants can see each other's edits live? Will you require a secondary communication channel during the meeting? If so, will you use it to solicit questions or input from a large group? Or do you want a private place to interact with individual participants, a presenter, your boss, a colleague, during the meeting? How will you share materials, such as an agenda or presentation deck, before the meeting? Do you want people to be able to view and edit these documents together at the same time? How will you follow up? What do you want participants to do after this meeting, and which tools will they need to do that? How will you track their progress or post follow-up messages? If you expect the meeting to spill over into follow-up discussions, where will those take place? Next, evaluate your attendees' needs. You're mainly concerned about accessibility here. Which setup will allow them to participate most fully in the conversation? Consider issues such as, which meeting tools do they already know how to use? For tools that are unfamiliar, will they have time to learn how to use them before your meeting? Will you tutor new users or help them get the appropriate training on their own? Will they be using their computer, tablet, or phone? Will they be calling in from a car or staying put? Can they participate in a high-quality, internet-based meeting? What results do they get from an internet speed test? How do they prefer to communicate? For more on why this question matters, see the section Bridge Linguistic or Cultural Barriers in the last chapter. To answer these questions, gather input from the other participants, perhaps after drafting your agenda. If you hold your meeting on a platform that no one can operate, your meeting will fail. So if you decide to go with a new-to-them tool, talk to participants about how they plan to become familiar with it, and offer help if you can. Finally, evaluate the security requirements your company has for this meeting. These rules protect your organization's business interests and shield it from legal liability. Planning your meeting in accordance with these rules helps your company manage risk and maintain its competitive advantage. Top security questions include, do you need to record the meeting? What form should the recording take? For example, an auditory or a written transcript, typed notes. Will you be discussing sensitive proprietary information? What rules does your organization have for how that information is shared and stored? What security functionality does your meeting need? For example, with document sharing or a video connection. Are participants in a location where they can safely speak about or view sensitive material? For example, do they have a quiet, private space, an office at another branch, a home office? Or are they in a more chaotic and public location, a coffee shop, an airport lounge? Choose your tools. This exercise should generate a list of tool requirements. I'll need to set up a chat thread for back-channel communications and a list of constraints. Katina can only join via mobile phone. Map them against one another, and you'll come up with some viable options: text or a mobile-enabled chat service. To pinpoint the best option, take an inventory of the resources currently available to you. Start by fixing your own location for this meeting. It could be your office, a conference room, or your kitchen table. What kind of setup can you reasonably manage from here? Pay attention to details such as video and teleconference links, a phone with speakerphone function, Wi-Fi signal strength, and the number of devices you can easily monitor at once. Then, consider how each of these elements is likely to play out for remote attendees. For example, maybe broadband internet at your company's office means that you can run a teleconference app with complex security measures while streaming videos and using a cloud-based tool. But if your coworker is relying on hotspot technology at the airport, they probably can't keep up. As you're working through these questions, find out what services IT support offers for setting up and running a virtual meeting. Can they suggest a tool based on your meeting's needs, or
sample complete. Ready to continue?